There's a scripture scriptures get on my mind. I'll be reading scripture and then I'll find one that just kind of stays with me for several weeks or maybe even months. And there's a scripture that's been on my mind of late. And this scripture is extremely exciting to me. It motivates me. It's inspiring. It lifts me. It helps me. I'd like to read the scripture, and then I'd like to discuss the scripture with you for the next half hour. I'd like to look at each phrase and consider possible meanings, maybe applications. This particular scripture was given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Isaiah. Then it was also given to Nephi and Jacob, Moroni, and to the prophet Joseph Smith. The account I'll read is out of the Doctrine and Covenants. Each time the scripture has been given, it's a little bit different. We'll point out some of those differences. For Zion must increase in beauty and in holiness. Her borders must be enlarged. Her stakes must be strengthened. Yea, verily I say unto you, Zion must arise and put on her beautiful garments. That's the count given to the prophet Joseph Smith. Isaiah, Nephi, and Jacob, they add the words, awake, awake, and put on thy strength. Moroni also uses the word awake, and he adds not only awake, but awake and arise from the dust. And then he adds another little element in the scripture, and that's the reason for the scripture, that the covenants of the eternal Father, which he hath made, will be fulfilled. So I'd like to talk about four concepts in that scripture. First one, awake. Awake and arise from the dust. Okay, we'll talk about that one. The second concept, put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garments. Increase in beauty and in holiness. The third concept, strengthen thy stake and enlarge thy borders. And the fourth idea, that the covenants of the Father may be fulfilled. Let's take the first one. Awake, awake, arise, even arise from the dust. You know, we all need to be woke up occasionally. Some years ago, I had a friend who fell asleep while driving. And he awakened to find his car running over the delineator post on the side of the road. And as he would hit each post, the reflector on the top of the post would snap off and fly over the top of the car. And he thought he was dreaming. The delineator post falling down, reflectors flying over the top of him, and finally he woke up to the reality that this was real. He got the car stopped, he was shaken, he was scared, and then he became really, really grateful that something much more serious had not happened to him. Well, we all need to be woke up. It happens at various times in our lives. Some wake up when they go on a mission. Some wake up before they go. Some have some tragedy or difficulty happen in their life. But the sooner we wake up, the better our lives are. And there's two ideas that I think we really need to wake up to. The first one is really how wicked the world is. It's a terrible, wicked world we live in today. The brethren have talked about it. We need to wake up. And if you don't realize how wicked the world is, you can sometimes get caught up thinking that it's not as bad as it really is, and you end up drifting with the world. So wake up to how wicked the world is. But also, wake up to the wonderful day we live in. This marvelous time when the restoration has been given. Wake up to the fact that we're children of God, that He loves us, that He's called a prophet, that we have a living prophet now. Wake up to the fact that He's given us the marvelous scripture, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants. So there's two points that we really need to wake up to. I was reading the newspaper this morning. We need to wake up to the fact that drugs and alcohol are killers, that they destroy families. We need to wake up to the fact that immodesty and immorality will destroy lives and destroy families. It's all over the place. So there's two parts of the wake up that I think we need to really pay attention to. Wake up to how wicked the world is and decide we don't want to be part of it. And then wake up to the marvelous privileges that the restored gospel has given us. The marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1869, at the New Tabernacle in those days, Wilford Woodruff gave a talk. He said this, "There never was a prophet from Adam down, whose records we have, but had his eye upon this great dispensation of the last days." If you think about that concept now, imagine all prophets who've ever lived through the ages had their eye upon these days, the days when the gospel would be restored, the days preceding the second coming of the Savior, the days when the millennial day would be ushered in. Well, President Gordon B. Hinckley, in 1999, in that October conference, just before the year 2000, gave a similar talk and made reference to this marvelous day. He titled his talk, "At the Summit of the Ages." I'd like to read just a little paragraph. This kind of tells us what we ought to wake up to, what a marvelous privilege is ours. "My brothers and sisters, do you realize what we have? Do you recognize our place in the great drama of human history? This is the focal point that has gone on before. This is the season of restitution. These are the days of restoration. This is the time when men from over the earth come to the mountain of the Lord's house to seek and learn of his ways and to walk in his paths. This is the summation of all the centuries of time since the birth of Christ to this present and wonderful day. The centuries have passed. The latter-day work of the Almighty, that which the ancients spoke, that which the prophets and apostles prophesied, is come. It is here. For some reason, unknown to us, but in the wisdom of God, we have been privileged to come to earth in this glorious age. There has been a great flowering of science. There has been a veritable explosion of learning. This is the greatest in all ages of human endeavor and human development. And more importantly, it is a season when God has spoken, when his beloved Son has appeared, when the divine priesthood has been restored, when we hold in our hands another testament of the Son of God. What a glorious and wonderful day. We stand on the summit of the ages." What a term. Think of what President Hinckley's saying. We stand on the summit of ages. Awed by a great and solemn sense of history. This is the last and final dispensation towards which all in the past has pointed. I bear testimony and witness of the reality of the truth of these things. I pray that every one of us may sense the awesome wonder of it all. I would hope that we would really wake up not only to how wicked the world is, so that we won't become part of it, but also wake up to this marvelous privilege God has given us. Just think of it. Think of all the people that are on the planet. And you have the privilege of being right here today at a Friday forum. You have testimonies. I think back when I attended across the street when the Institute was kitty corner from the intersection here. And I went to many Friday forums, and they were so impactful on to me that today I can still remember some of the speakers and some of the things they talked about. You have this privilege to go to institute, to be a member of the church, to have testimonies. I heard the mission calls that were read off. What a marvelous privilege to serve a mission. Many of you already have. We've been blessed, brothers and sisters. And so that's what Moroni and Isaiah and these prophets are saying. Let's wake up. Let's arise from the dust or arise from the world and realize what we have. Second idea, put on thy strength. Put on the beautiful garments. Increase in beauty and holiness. I believe this scripture has multiple meanings. And we can look at it both physically and spiritually. Some years ago, I was teaching seminary in St. George, and a young man in the middle of the year came in to register for seminary. He had his grandmother with him. He was dressed in black. He had chains hanging from his pocket. He had his pants, you know, were almost ready to fall off. You kind of get the picture. So I chatted with him as he was registering. He was filling out the registration form. And he told me that he'd fallen into the wrong crowd. And he got himself in trouble in his previous school. And his parents had sent him to live with his grandmother to get him away from his friends that had such a powerful influence over him. And then he said this. He says he wanted to change. He wanted to do better. And he just said to me, I didn't ask him, he just volunteered. He said he knew the church was true and that he hoped he could find better friends. And I'm thinking in my mind, here he is, the way he's dressed. And I said, have you been over to the school yet? And he says, no. And I said, well, I've got a suggestion. Don't go yet. Go home and burn your clothes. And he looked at me, his eyes went big, you know, and I said, go home and burn your clothes and go buy some new ones. And he's still looking at me like I'm crazy. And I said, the deal is when you walk across the street, you're going to have instant friends. They're going to be the 15 in the school that look just like you. They're some of the worst kids in the school. They're in trouble. They're in trouble with flunking out. They're in trouble with drugs and other things. And they're going to be your friends. And so my advice is to go home and burn your clothes and then get new clothes and dress yourself like a saint, like you have a testimony. I turned to his grandmother and I said, if your grandson is willing to burn his clothes, would you buy him some new ones? And she just brightened up, in a minute. And I said, now go home. If you got the courage, go home and burn your clothes and get new ones and come back. And then bring a sack lunch and eat lunch over here at the seminary. Some of the best kids in the school eat their lunch over here at the seminary. Well, I was surprised. The young man did it. He went home. I don't know if he burned his clothes, but he went home and he came back in new clothes. He ate his lunch over to the seminary, and sure enough, he had instant friends, good friends. He changed his life. We need to put on beautiful garments. We need to dress like saints, look like saints. I told this young man, you're a walking billboard. And we really are. All of us are a walking billboard. We advertise what's in our heart, what's important to us, what we value. Every day, we all dress ourselves. Several times a day. And so I'd ask you this question. When you go to the closet, when you take out the clothes that you decide you're going to put on that day, do you dress yourself like you have a testimony? Does that thought enter your mind that you're, by how you dress yourself, it's going to influence who you associate with? It's also going to influence others and can cause their testimony to either grow or to diminish. Here at Snow College, I've been at the Institute many times. I've been over to campus. We don't see many, if any, dressed in black like that young man. But we do see, and I do see, some that mirror the dress of the world. A little immodest, a little loud or irreverent, maybe even a little vulgar. Well, if you want to rise up, like the Lord said to Moroni, and become beautiful to the Lord, part of it would be how you dress yourselves physically. A safe way to dress yourselves, look to the prophets, look to the apostles and their spouses. If you follow the 12 apostles and the first presidency and their spouses in your dress and grooming, you'll be pleasing to God. This scripture could also, we could take and look at it spiritually. Not only do we dress ourselves, we choose to dress ourselves physically, how we dress ourselves, but we choose to dress ourselves spiritually. the scripture says some interesting things. Listen to this. Clothe yourself. That's what the scripture term is. Clothe yourself with the bond of charity. Clothe yourself with the garment of salvation. Clothe yourself with the robe of righteousness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with virtue and strength and honor. I believe that those scriptures indicate to us that it's our choice how we clothe ourselves. Do we clothe ourselves with a testimony? See, do we clothe ourselves with charity and love? In section 124 of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord tells a man by the name of Robert Foster something. He says, repent of all the folly and clothe yourself with charity. Cease to do evil. Cease to lay aside all your hard speeches. So what the Lord was telling this Brother Foster is put away the garment of rudeness or the garment of or the habit of being negative or complaining or rebellious, and put on the garment of kindness, the garment of faith, the garment of charity and love. Clothe yourself with the characteristics of godliness. In Revelations, it tells us that Jesus Christ, when he returns, will come clothed in majesty and power. And that the saints that come with him in the clouds of heaven will be clothed in white raiment, fine white and pure, clean linen. Why will they be dressed such? Because they've clothed themselves with righteousness. Because they'll be pure. And they're doing that because they have testimonies and it means a lot to them. We could go on and say more, but I would encourage us to clothe ourselves, to rise up from the dust, and let's not dress like the world, but let's dress like saints. And not only dress, but let's clothe ourselves spiritually in our speech, in our actions to others. Let's clothe ourselves with the garment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Item number 3, strengthen your stake and enlarge the borders of your stake. I'd like to tell you about 2 different institutes where I've seen young people like yourselves have a great influence on others because they took it upon themselves to strengthen the stake or strengthen the institute. One particular institute, the class instructor has a habit of giving each student, when the student comes to class the first time, a little schedule that can go in the wallet. He'll give the students 2 schedules, one for themselves and then one to give to a friend, and encourage them to bring a friend when they come to the next class. Because the students respond to this teacher's invitation, often within a week or 2, the institute class will double in size. Literally just double because they go out and bring their friends. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Well, one day this institute teacher gave a card to a young man by the name of Jamie Avila and asked him if he would then bring a friend next week and handed him another card. And so Jamie said he'd do it. And then he said, give me 5 of those cards. The teacher says, well, I'm not going to give you 5 unless you'll bring 5 friends. He says, I'll bring 5 friends. They'll be here next week. And sure enough, next week, Jamie and his 5 friends were all there. And they all continued to attend Institute. They all completed the course. And all 5 young men served missions. Well, the Lord's got to love somebody like Jamie Avila that brings his friends and influences them. I'll tell you about some LDSSA officers. They were over on the college campus trying to encourage when they had their club day at campus and other clubs are trying to invite people to enroll in their club. They were trying to encourage people to come and participate in the Institute program. And they had some signs and things and they didn't have any very many people stop and talk to him. They were discouraged, but they had one young man. And his name was Terry Robertson. And he had long hair, long red hair, and he looked like a hippie out of the 60s, kind of scrungy looking and dirty. And so they come and indicated they had found this one young man that was willing to come to Institute. And sure enough, he came. And these officers at the Institute then befriended him and learned more about him and kept him coming to Institute. Come to find out, this young student didn't have a home. His parents had divorced and left, both their separate way, and left him, if you can imagine. And so he, since he was just graduating from high school, didn't have a place to stay. So he was sleeping on campus. He had a sleeping bag. He'd roll it up in the bushes. He'd hide it in the bushes, and he'd roll it out on the lawn and sleep on the campus lawn. And then he'd get up early in the morning and go exercise in the gym, shower and clean up and go to school. Stay in the library in the late evenings studying. And anyway, these, not a member, and these students then kept inviting him to social activities and befriending him and kept him coming to Institute. And eventually, he becomes interested in the church, gets a testimony, joins the church, and then he gets all excited when he realized that there was a possibility that he could have the priesthood of God, and maybe he could even serve a mission. And so he wanted to know, how do you get the priesthood? All this time, he was mainly participating in the Institute program. Well, he started to participate in the church more, in the attend his meetings and pay tithing and all those things that a faithful member would do. And eventually, he received the priesthood. Well, today, Terry Robertson's a college graduate, married in the temple, active in the church. And the reason? Because of some Institute students that invited him to come and join him at Institute. I'd commend that to you. I'd commend that concept to you. You find that in the Gospel of John as it starts out. John the Baptist says to two of his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." Those two disciples then follow Jesus Christ. And they tell their friends. They find Andrew. Andrew then tells Peter, and then Philip tells Nathaniel. That's how the gospel message spreads, is we tell our friends and we bring them and we share it with them. I'll tell you about a gentleman in my home state right now. His name is Dean Nielsen. For 60 years, Dean has been inactive in the church. All efforts by family and neighbors and home teachers and others to get Dean to be receptive to the gospel has been repulsed. Dean's brother Don went to a church meeting and heard a scripture. It's James 5:16, which states, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And in this meeting, when the scripture was quoted, the speaker encouraged the congregation to pray for someone that was less active, because since they're a righteous man, it would help to soften their heart and help them to accept the gospel eventually. So Don decided he'd start praying for his brother Dean, which he did so. Every day, several times a day, he prayed for Dean, prayed that somehow Dean would soften his heart and accept an invitation. After doing this for a considerable time, Don decided he'd try again. He had tried lots of times, but he'd try again to invite Dean to go to something. So he invited Dean to a fireside. And lo and behold, this time Dean says, "Oh, what the heck." And he went with him. So Dean started coming to a few church things, some functions, some church socials, to fireside or two. Then finally he starts coming to the sacrament meeting. And then he finally gets the courage to bear his testimony. And here's what he said when he bore his testimony. He told his brother, Don, and others, he says, "You guys can quit praying for me now." He'd heard about it, see. He said, you quit praying for me. He says, I'm feeling it really strong. I know Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and I know the Book of Mormon's true. Recently, I talked to Dean, and he said, you know that old man that was stubborn for 60 years? I can't even imagine it was me. I love the gospel so much. I just can't imagine why I was like that. Well, wouldn't it have been nice if Don and others would have started praying for Dean years ago? I would encourage you, get in your heart and in your mind this attitude that you can influence others. And so constantly be a missionary. Constantly try to strengthen the stakes, strengthen the ward, strengthen the institute. Well, how do you do it? Invite your friends. You never go to a church function unless you try to invite somebody. Now, they might turn you down, but that's okay. Just constantly invite people to come. And constantly be praying for someone. Look your friends over, maybe a family member, and start today and pray for them. Pray several times a day. Pray that God will soften their heart. Pray that somehow you'll be able to be an influence on them. And somehow then they can accept the gospel. Miracles will happen if we have this desire to strengthen the Lord's church, to enlarge the borders of the church. Invite your friends. The fourth idea. Moroni says that the covenants of the Father may be fulfilled. Now that's why the Lord says we need to arise from the world, arise from the dust. And why we need to put on garments that are beautiful to God. And is so that these covenants can be fulfilled. God entered into a covenant with Adam, Noah, you've heard this, and with other prophets, Enoch and Abraham. And the covenant's always been the same, basically, that God would bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ also entered into a covenant to become the only begotten Son. He made a covenant or a promise with the Father. Listen to this scripture. This is in 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. In other words, the Father and the Son entered into a covenant, and Jesus made that covenant that He would be the only begotten, and He would live a perfect life and work out the infinite atonement. And He's not going to quit. That's what the scripture says. He's not slack concerning that promise. He's going to endure. He's going to endure until that promise is complete, until all that are willing are brought back to the Father. Well, brothers and sisters, we're part of that promise. We're included in that promise that the Lord Jesus Christ made to His Father. And we made promises. Elder Bednar made this statement. We were born to share the gospel. Now think about that. We were born to share the gospel. Elder Bednar indicated that we made promises in the premortal world that if we were born in the lineage of Abraham, that we, with because of that privilege, would spend our lives sharing the gospel with others. That's our destiny. That's our promise that we made in the premortal world. So when it comes time, should I go on a mission? Well, you made that promise a long time ago. That if you were born in the lineage of Abraham, you would serve. And you would preach the gospel. And you would share it with others. And so when we come to earth and we then accept that invitation to serve missions, we're just fulfilling the promise we already made to our Father in heaven. Spencer Kimball made this statement concerning these promises, especially the promises we make in the temple. Listen to this. If you understood the ordinances of the house of the Lord, you would crawl on your hands and feet for thousands of miles in order to receive them. I've thought about that. Just think of that. Visualize the handcart saints coming across the plains and the struggles they had, and were in awe at their faithfulness. And yet Spencer Kimball says, if we had to crawl across the plains on our hands and feet so that we could go to the house of the Lord and make those promises, it would be worth it. Well, one of the greatest ways you can put on beautiful garments and you can arise and become beautiful to God and strengthen the stakes and enlarge the borders of the stakes or the church is to go to the temple. It's to go to the temple and put on beautiful temple clothing and make promises to be a worthy temple holder member of the church your whole life. Some years ago, I was given an interview to a gentleman in my ward, Irvin Allen. And Irvin was in his 90s, and he couldn't go to the temple anymore. And I said to Irvin, you can't go to the temple. Why do you want to recommend? And he looked at me and he said, Bishop, when I die, I want to have a current temple recommend. Live your lives so that you always have a current temple recommend. That's beautiful to God. Well, every age, through all the history of man, there's been things God has expected of people. God expected Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses. And we can go on. Joshua and Caleb and Gideon, Ruth and Hannah and Esther and Daniel, Abinadi and Samuel the Lamanite and Mary and Joseph and Peter and James and John and Mormon and Moroni. Every age, God has expected that group of people to rise up from the dust and do certain things. Well, today, God is asking us to wake up, to rise up, to stand up, and to put on beautiful garments, both physically and spiritually. We're being asked to serve in His kingdom and to share the gospel with others. You know, we're being asked to be faithful at incredible odds. Odds greater than 1,000 to 1. Well, my hope and prayer is that I won't let my Father in heaven down, and that you won't either. We made promises that we would be faithful if we were given the gospel in that pre-mortal world. So when the Lord says, wake up, He's really talking to the rising generation. That's you. Rise up. You're the rising generation. Fulfill your destiny. Keep your covenants that you made in the premortal world. The young adults today are the hope of the church in the future. My prayer is that you'll rise up and be beautiful to God. Now, as I close, I'd like to invite everybody in the congregation to do three things. Okay? Just three simple things. Number one, go home and look up the scripture, Doctrine and Covenants 82:14. Read it over, ponder it, study it. What does it say to you? Maybe get your journal out and write thoughts as you ponder this scripture where the Lord is inviting us to arise and put on beautiful garments and become beautiful to Him and enlarge the borders of His church and strengthen His church. Number two, consider yourselves your physical and spiritual wardrobe. Would you? Just consider it. Certainly there's something in your closet that you wouldn't wear to an interview with the prophet. Or maybe there's something you say or think or do that's not filled with charity. So I would invite you to throw away something. Throw away something you say, throw away something you think, or throw away something you have worn in the past. Take a step forward in your dressing and grooming that would be pleasing to God. Clothe yourself in a manner that is beautiful to God. And number three, start praying for someone. select someone, a family member, a friend, and pray for them. Pray for them every day. Pray for them several times a day. Pray that God will soften their heart, that somehow they can be brought into the gospel net, and gain a great testimony, their heart can be changed, and they can become entitled to all the wonderful blessings God would like to bestow upon us. These are small things, brothers and sisters, but I promise you, if you'll do them, great things will happen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.